So I'm going to try and be quick. You'll be glad to know. I suppose one very simple way of summing up what the Copyright Hub is trying to do is addressing that basic problem. Can I use this? That's kind of it. And providing tools whereby it's easy for anyone, anywhere on the whole internet, maybe, and beyond, to ask that question to whoever it is that question should be directed to, the person who has or controls the rights in a piece of content, and for them or their machine to be able to provide the answer. The context for the Copyright Hub is both sort of very, very much broader and also very much narrower than lots of the things we've been talking about up till now. Copyright Hub came about as a result of a British government consultation about copyright, the sort of overt theme of which was, should we change the law, loosen copyright? And it was responding to lots of sort of public debate about copyright and its role in, depending on which side of the fence you're sitting, limiting and destroying opportunity for the digital world to really live up to its potential, or if you're on the sort of right-sending side of things, the exact opposite, digital world destroying opportunity, which ought to be greater in the digital world but is smaller. One of the things the government suggested was better mechanisms for dealing with copyright, and that is, I will tell anyone the full story who wants to hear it, but it'll be rather long if I do it now. But in short, that turned into the Copyright Hub. And we are trying to solve really one very particular and relatively small piece of this technical jigsaw, which is to allow anyone who creates content, not just so-called professionals, not just people in these well-managed organisations where they have sort of orderly systems, but anyone, to be able to take advantage of copyright. Because copyright, you know, looked at one way, is a kind of human right. Anyone who creates anything, any human who creates anything has copyright, but copyright isn't actually that useful to them in the digital age unless they can make it do something. Whether or not that's try to sell it for money or give it away, Creative Commons style, or keep it private is not really the point. The point is, for that to be a useful right, it has to be their right to control as they wish and not something that is, in practical terms, useless. So firstly, the Copyright Hub is much broader. It's for everyone. It's for every content type. It's for every sort of part of that jungle. Much smaller too, because what we're trying to do is facilitate and make it easier for people to transact. The Copyright Hub itself will never do any licensing. It is trying to make it easier for other people to do licensing. So if you have a picture agency and someone has found your picture, and not just in your system, your nice orderly system where it's all controlled, but out there in the wild, which is where pictures end up, sometimes because you wanted them to and sometimes because you didn't, for them to be able to ask your machine the question, can I use this? And for your machine, thanks to the work that the Link Content Coalition has been doing, and Godfrey Russ in the room, he's the great guru of the Copyright Hub and of LCC and of many other things, for your machine to be able to answer. In other words, make the entire process one that has little or no inherent transaction cost of that process, can I, and the reply, and secondly, one that works the way the internet works, that scales up nicely. Now, some people in the room, we did a little video about this, which I'm wondering whether I should show you. It sort of describes in simple terms. Tell me, do you think I should? Should I quickly play it? Okay. This is really trying to address the question of copyrights for everyone else. You know, all these people who think copyright's a terrible thing, it's a restrictive thing, it makes them pay for things they don't want to pay for, it stops things happening. It's trying to explain about copyright as a concept and also summarise what we're trying to do. So what I'll do is I'll show it to you, and then I'll show you very quickly a demo of the sort of functionality we are going to implement very soon with some partners, and I will invite you all to come and join us and do something similar. Where's that other microphone? I'm going to point it at my speaker. This is the high-tech way we'll make this thing audible. You hear it?
People often tell us that copyright's complicated. But at its heart, it's not complicated. In fact, it's dead simple. It's just a law that says two things. Firstly, if you create something, then you own it. And secondly, as the owner, you can decide what happens to it. So if anyone wants to use it, they need your permission, a license. Really just a way of saying yes. Sometimes no, but most often a way of saying, yeah, okay, as long as you comply with a few conditions. So far, so simple. But before anyone can ask for your permission, first they have to find you. Not easy online, where creative content is simple to find, but is frequently separated from both its owner and, very often, other information about it too. And when you do eventually find each other, those conditions we talked about can become pretty daunting, expensive, and complicated. That's because the copyright process has grown to match the size and complexity of the creative sector. But now that we're all creators and users of copyright ourselves, we need all that complexity to be hidden away. Otherwise, you have to deal with the inner workings of that machine, which can quickly get confusing. Working with Digital Catapult, the Copyright Hub aims to change all that. We want to improve the way the copyright machine works. Hiding the complexity you don't need to see, and smoothing the journey for everyone. We'll do this in two ways. Firstly, we'll attach identifiers to pieces of content. So when you find your content, you'll also find out who to talk to about it. Secondly, we'll make it easy for you or your machine to talk to them and agree. That's copyright done right. Simple.
There you go. So, at a technical level, it is really quite simple. We want our identifiers to be kind of dumb. We want them to point to what we are calling repositories of information about whichever work it might be, and that's whatever metadata the person who has it manages. And we want it to respond, we want them to build, we want to encourage people to build algorithms that are capable of providing automated responses to the kind of queries people make. They don't actually have to. In my view, the first challenge is establish that first link, connect the content to its, we'll call them owner, and then give them processes to deal with that. And I think the next step of that evolution is when it's clear what the market really wants, is build capability that delivers automated responses and keep doing that within your business up until the level it sort of stops making sense. It obviously, if you've got highly orderly, very well-managed internal databases, it ought to be quite easy to connect these things up and make them do quite clever things. If not, you might find that you quickly involve humans in the process, having started off with this automated way. And that will evolve over time. We are not trying to set or determine the ways in which people should use this, and we're absolutely not looking to participate in the market ourselves. This will be open source. It will be given away. We ourselves are a not-for-profit organisation, and although we are referred to, even in the programme here, as the UK Copyright Hub, we are not the UK Copyright Hub. There is no UK issue here that stops at the borders of the UK. We might be a bit isolationist as a nation these days, but you know, the internet's global, so it's the Copyright Hub for the whole world. And in fact, the way the architecture is, there can be lots of copyright hubs. They can interoperate. What we're really trying to do is deploy the technology and the capabilities the internet has already for making connections between things and giving machines ways of talking about them, and deploy it for rights and for information about content, as opposed to just how to lay it out on the screen. We started with photos, which is why it's a very appropriate place for me to be. The reason we started with photos was really sort of expediency, nothing more. It's kind of practical in lots of ways to start with photos. They're relatively simple to embed metadata in. That's good. They typically are relatively simple when it comes to rights, actually. If you talk to anyone in the music industry, there's no such thing, as far as I can tell, as a piece of music with only one rights owner. The concept of that is almost naive, whereas actually the photographs, very often there is. It's the photographer. He passed his rights on to this or that agency. The agency represents the rights. Quite simple. So we're starting there. And what I'm going to show you is what we have built. This is really our sort of demonstrator. We built it with the Digital Catapult to sort of prove out the technology, and it's still something in development, but it works. And so we're going to start to deploy it in partnership with a couple of agencies, and we would like to encourage every picture agency everywhere to talk to us about how they too could deploy this capability. To make it really simple, the reason I'm doing it on my own laptop, here's a picture. Now, this is a picture I found in Google Images. It's not a picture I found in someone's website or selling photos, and I could just as well have found it on, you know, any website, actually. This particular image has one of our identifiers embedded in it, and this particular browser has a plugin. And what the plugin does is look at the image, find the identifier, excuse me, I can't do this looking over my shoulder, resolve it through a hub index to work out which server has knowledge of this particular asset, and then query it, say, what can you tell me about this picture? Now, what this does in response is just a thing that we made up. But actually, what we do ultimately is stop at the API, and then at that point, whoever's on the receiving end of the request can decide what their system should do in response. But to illustrate, especially to people who are daunted by copyright, we've done it this way. Now, this, I'm quite certain, is going to be annoyingly slow, partly because of the broadband and partly because they're fiddling with the back end today. But that should take a second or two. Now, in this case, this picture has been offered out through a fake dummy agency we made up for the purpose called Example Co. And what they've done is they've decided to package up what you might call a sort of retail set of rights and make an offer. Would you like to buy rights that fit into one of these categories? Now, the reason we did this is because, firstly, the challenge as set by the Hargreaves Review and also by anecdotally by everyone is about what we call the long tail. You know, this huge volume of use and reuse of content that's happening casually all over the internet billions of times a day, which, even if you knew about it, would be incredibly difficult to manage or monetize. And also, it's an area where it's obvious that it's sort of very low-value licenses. They're going to be done kind of retail style. Here's the offer. Here's the license. Take it or leave it. We're not going to get into a complex negotiation over a pound. One of them's greyed out because in the other side of this demo, the photographers, the uploaders can choose which licenses they want to offer. That's the only reason that one's greyed out. And we kind of just made this stuff up, but we're trying to define the use in simple ways that are relatively easy to objectively define, i.e. what's the traffic on your site per month? Most people know that. That's an easy thing to say whether you're one side or other of that line. Does your site carry advertising? That's an easy thing to know. It either does or it doesn't. And then you can buy for a pound. Bottom one down there is an important one because it's get it for free. Now, get it for free, and by the way, this is all just our hypothesis, right? Anyone can do and set whatever terms and prices they like here. But get for free is an interesting one because once the cost of licensing has become effectively nil, because this is a completely automated process, your machine's doing it, the value you get in return for your permission might not necessarily always have to be money. If you say to someone, you can post this thing on Facebook, but you've got to pay me, chances are they'll just post it on Facebook anyway. You'll never know. And there's no amount of money that most people would be willing to pay that you could also cost-effectively collect. So is it necessarily the case that you need money? Actually, you might just want to know they've done it. You might want to know who's done it. You might want to know where they've posted it. This is all valuable things because it's bringing order to this chaotic world that we see on the internet. And if you can afford to take away that barrier of always having to get money, it opens up new possibilities. So if you've got your license, it will have limits. Someone has agreed to limits. And potentially, built out of the same architecture, the platform that it's uploaded to could enforce those limits. They could also be aware of it. So after a certain amount of viewing, it'll stop working, or maybe at that point you have to pay. Very relevant in places like YouTube, where a huge majority of stuff uploaded to YouTube gets a traffic of approximately nil. You know, a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of views. And some of it goes absolutely bananas. Do you deal with that by reviewing every single request manually in advance? Do you deal with it by saying no to everything? Do you deal with it by having complex algorithms to do automated takedowns? Or do you say, now have a new option, which is to say, well, actually, let me give people permission, set rules, and I'll do all those expensive things for the ones where it's obvious that it actually matters, that have gained some traction, not bother with the rest. This opens up options. So if you buy a license, I'll buy this one for a pound. Thank you very much. I'll pay for it. through my super quick system. Second thing that's happened here is the license itself now also has an identifier, which could be embedded into the picture when it's downloaded. That's important because it means anyone who comes across that instance of that picture could query that license identifier. The metadata, just as in the other case, is held remotely. It could also be embedded if you want, but it's held remotely. You can query a server that has knowledge of it, find out whether or not it's licensed. That would be useful for a platform where stuff's being uploaded. They actually now have a way of knowing whether something's licensed, where currently they don't. So we're creating tools and functionality that can be used generically by anyone to advance whatever goal it is that they have. The other important point, obviously, is at the minute this whole debate is often presented in terms of a war. Right? It's the platforms versus the copyright owners. We, the copyright owners, want to take some of the value off those platforms and have it for ourselves. It's not fair that they've got it all. I'm a veteran of those debates, but actually, in this instance, if someone uploads what is an unlicensed piece of content and there is an automated process for selling it, why shouldn't the platform get in the middle of that process and actually help create new money, collect the money for you, pass it on? You know, there's all sorts of new ways you can look at this problem once you've got these capabilities. Now, this is not just something that we're doing kind of in the lab. We have a bunch of mostly UK agencies who we've been working with, a couple of which have actually given us real content to work with, Mary Evans and Four Corners being the two. Now, here's a Four Corners image just to sort of show that this is beginning to get real. So this will show you the same options, but it'll be a Four Corners pop-up. We're hosting this for them at the moment so that we can test this. Now, for this to have traction, for this to be able to become a commonplace and widely respected way of working on the internet, one of the first things we need is a lot of content out there with resolvable identifiers on them. Some content already has identifiers in an orderly way. You know, there's ISBNs and ISSNs. There's lots of standards for identifiers. There's plus for photos. Lots and lots and lots doesn't, including all those 2 billion a day that everyone's casually uploading. So having lots of identifiers out in the wild is really important. And having those identifiers do something, even if it's something as simple as this, or even simpler, here's my phone number, that's the first building block in a path that will take the internet, if it continues to progress, to a whole new level of complexity and capability dealing with rights. The great catchphrase that we both said, hide complexity. It's not about making things simplistic. It's about only exposing people to the level of complexity they need to see. And at this sort of retail end of the market, I suggest that's as close to nil as possible. If you're a newspaper dealing with rights all the time, maybe a bit more. But we can change everything. We do have massive support, not just in the UK, internationally in America. Gene and Jeff are great supporters and great collaborators with us. We do collaborate with Plus and anyone else who's already solved problems. The Link Content Coalition, as I said, we're not about solving problems that other people have solved, and we're not about ourselves being a business. What we're about is creating opportunities and creating a bigger landscape of opportunity for anyone who can think of clever ways of exploiting it. So my appeal to everyone in this room is to find out more and to talk to us and discover how easily you could also join this world. It's really about making sure that your content, when it goes into the world, carries an identifier that's resolvable, probably the same one it already carries, maybe slightly differently formatted, so that we can get that ball rolling and you know, follow the pioneers, follow the people who've helped us in our sort of R&D stage to take the volume of identifiers, Copyright Hub identifiers, into the millions and then into the tens of millions and then into the hundreds of millions, and show the world that this is not just an idea that's a lovely thing on paper but will never become real, but make it real. Because if we do, collectively, we will have a world which is a much, much better world in which to be doing this kind of business. More competitive, more volume, more ability to use technology and delivering the outcome that I think is the important one, which is creators win when their work is popular. That's the thing that, at its heart, I think copyright should do, and it all too often does not do it properly in the internet era. So we're trying to solve this at its root, and my appeal now is for you all to come with us, because I really do think, I know it's not just me who thinks this can change everything if we let it. Thank you.